and welcome back to another show. This is the Cancer Survivor Show brought to you by the Chemo Girls. We're so glad to have you back with us today, and we are still having a good time in Nashville, Tennessee.
Woo, yeah.
Boy, we got some great people to talk with us today. We've new friends here at the convention.
That's right.
And let me introduce Geralyn Lucas, who is the Executive Director to Public Relations, correct? Lifetime TV?
Yes. Actually, I used to work at Lifetime TV.
Okay.
Sorry. And it was a wonderful thing, and they actually produced a movie that was based on my book.
Okay.
And I was played by a tall blonde. That was
how
one
the
of the highlights
happen?
Of my life. Don't you think that's good casting? No?
Not so sure.
I don't know.
It was kind of like the icing on my cancer experience, you know? It was like the good thing that
That's
came
right.
to me.
That's
yes.
right.
So that was amazing.
Had you always wanted to be a tall blonde?
I think I did. I think I had some blonde envy, and I was played by Sarah Chalk. And I mean, what can be wrong about
That's right.
Yeah,
That's
you should
right.
see her legs. So it was all a good thing.
That's wonderful. And we have Matthew Zachary, who is the founder of Stupid. cancer.org.
Yes.
Thank you both for being with us
Thank
today.
You so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It is.
So we really would just like for you guys to give us a little rundown on what it is that you guys do in terms of resources for newbies and their families that are coming into this cancer story.
Sure.
So, Ms. Geralyn, can we start with you?
Sure. So, I was 27 when I was diagnosed. No family
wow.
history.
Phenomenal.
And thank you. And I just turned 46.
Yay!
And have a little Botox. yes. So, at the time I was going through reconstruction, I didn't qualify for any moving anything around.
Yes.
Now I have a little muffin. I've got some, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm a little different than 27. But when I was diagnosed, I mean, I felt like there was nothing out there that spoke to me mm-hmm. and my experience. If I saw your book, I mean, the chemo cocktail idea and your patches and your energy, it would have made me smile at a time when I thought I had nothing to smile about and everything
you.
Was so serious. And it was just a totally different moment in time. And I wrote my book, Why Wore Lipstick to My Mastectomy, because I felt like informally I was telling my story to so many different women. So many of my doctors would say, this young woman's just been diagnosed. Could you call her?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course I did.
Right.
And then this young woman's been diagnosed. Can you show her what your reconstruction looks like? And
right.
we'd meet in bathrooms in New York City mm-hmm. at, you know, restaurants. And I just realized that at a certain point I couldn't return every call or be there mm-hmm. for every person. And it just got me thinking that if I put my story in a book,
yeah.
it could be right there.
That's
and
right.
at the conference, just meeting women who said, someone sent me your book, or I kept your book, you know, on my nightstand when I lost my hair because they made me have a wind machine with my hair mm-hmm. when I took my author photo, mm-hmm. which I don't look like. It was very airbrushed. You know, it's all
this
just hair.
As beautiful in person
You're
as
so
you on
sweet.
Your feel.
Thank you. It's a little fake, but I just felt like writing the book for me was a chance to be a resource
That's
and
right.
sharing my story in an open and honest way. The movie did that as well. And right now I've moved on to an advocacy role where I really want women to spend as much time, energy, and money on checking their breasts as mm-hmm. they do buying shoes and getting Brazilian bikini waxes mm-hmm. and so I really like to think of myself as a resource to take away the fear.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all doing here. It seems like there's a common thread here at this convention with people like ourselves that have resources available. All we want to do is help. We want to help
yeah.
that newbie go into that first chemotherapy session more prepared.
I wish I knew you because I cried so hard my first chemo session. I stayed up all night vomiting, not from the chemo,
yeah.
but from the
anxiety.
And then I remember my doctor wasn't there. She was out of town at a convention, so I needed another doctor to do it. And I was with my mom, and I was so mean to my mom. And the substitute doctor came in. She was like, you are being so mean to your mother.
do you understand what your mother's going through? And I was like, and I just didn't know. And then the bag starts rolling at me, and it has a skull and bones on it. And I'm like, poison? I'm taking poison. And my doctor said, just go home and order Chinese food and run a movie. And I was like on the floor, vomiting. And I thought maybe they gave me too big a dose.
Right.
So if I had this resource, I think what you're doing is incredibly brilliant. And if I had a girlfriend to talk me through the chemo piece of it, that was the hardest piece of it
for
me.
Thank you. But we're all doing our part.
We
think
are.
That's
so
what
it is. Proud of you.
Thank you so much. I think really all we can do is take our experience and any expertise that we have and meld them together, and that's what we
that's
get
right.
back. And so everybody's perspective is just a little bit different, but I think as a, you know, our survivorship offers something back to the community, and
definitely.
I think it looks different for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Matthew has so many real resources on. I would always turf to him as far as finding the resources.
Right.
I always wanted to recommend, endorse the best resources out there. So he's just. He's a shopping mall.
Mm-hmm. And I've been to your site, and it is phenomenal.
Oh, you're the one.
Thank you very much.
Of 100,000.
Tell us a little bit about stupidcancer.org.
Well, sure. Like Gerilyn, I was also diagnosed as a young adult. Same year in 1996. I was 21.
Wow.
Unlike Gerilyn, I played myself on television. Instead of a tall blonde, that would have been a little more awkward. Yeah.
You're so handsome. You just had to play yourself.
And it's a true story. I actually played myself on television.
That's great.
Yeah. On Lifetime, actually. same channel.
Have those
yeah. But I was born with brain cancer. It didn't present itself till I was in college. And then I was misdiagnosed for 6 months until it was, well, there's no stages for what I had. But if it were, I would be at like stage 11. You know, it was really bad. And I survived very aggressive brain surgery, and there were really no chemotherapy drugs back in the 90s for what I had. So I had endured a significant level of radiation to my entire body.
Yeah.
At the time, I was a concert pianist. I've been studying for 10 years, and I was going to go to USC Film School to write for movies.
Uh-huh.
That was what I wanted to do, and I lost the use of my left hand.
Oh, goodness.
And they said I'd never play again, and I said, let's see if you're alive in 6 months. So I fell back on a secondary career in advertising and marketing, but I spent a good 5 or 6 years of my life post brain cancer alone. I didn't meet or connect with any resources, with any other young adults. I felt I was the only person on the planet that had gone through what
we
I went through.
We hear that all the time.
And it was unfair.
Yeah.
It was really unfair that I didn't have the right to get busy living at that stage. And I really struggled for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I started Stupid Cancer in 2007 because there was a public policy report that came out that talked about how young adults are very underserved in terms of their quality of life, in terms of being made aware of resources that are age appropriate, like fertility and insurance and human resources and whatnot, parenting. And the organization basically was nothing but a resource. It was the big yellow pages, as Gerilyn said, that put together every resource in the country for young adults specifically in one place at one time. And today, 7 years later, we're the nation's largest patient advocate for millennials.
Excellent.
So
congratulations
amazing.
On that.
Thank
that
you.
Is a very good accomplishment.
It really is.
You both just served our cancer patient community so well. And do you have any tidbits of wisdom that you'd like to share with any newbies that are out there that they've just been diagnosed, just facing that whole treatment protocol?
I always felt like every chemo for me became an opportunity to have a conversation with a friend, to have a party.
Okay.
I really think it's important. You know, it's so counterintuitive. People think you're going to be sick and you're going to be uncomfortable. But I think anything you can do to make that environment, just make it happy.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your favorite food. Mm-hmm. If you're nauseated, sometimes it's hard to figure it out. I used to love reading the National Enquirer and eating Enemans donuts. it was just like junk food. I always invited different people to come. And strangely, I always dressed up for my chemo.
Oh.
It was like an important day. Mm-hmm. I was like, there I am wearing a very short skirt. I am wearing these shoes. I'm wearing this necklace. And it just was so intentional. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, it's very important to sit in this room. It's a very important appointment. This room is going to lead me to other rooms. And I have to be here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was terrifying. I didn't have a port, which I know these days they do a lot of ports. Yeah. So I could only get needles on one arm. And then my veins started turning black. Yeah. And I remember I felt very goth. I was like, oh, my gosh. But I think it's important, you know, and I'd always go shopping after chemo.
Good for you.
I just looked forward to it. I was like, I'm going to go to TJ Maxx and find the best bargain. I'm going to go to Marshall. Like, it was just shopping energized me. Whatever energizes you, do it after chemo because you're so tired.
You were celebrating life every single time you went.
Yes.
Claiming life.
That's my advice.
Matthew?
I mean, platitudes aside, it's as simple as, at least for me, is try to just be authentic. Yeah. Don't be shy to express yourself. Mm-hmm. Try to stay connected to things that have meaning in your life.
Right.
You have to realize that it's possible to survive, but understand that you have the right to survive with dignity and quality.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's so fantastic.
Well, I am overwhelmed with just the vast array of expertise and support and care that we have available for people that are facing a diagnosis of cancer today.
That's right.
So if you're newly diagnosed, reach out. Find what's out there. Look us up. Look for all of our websites and so you can gain information from those that have been there, done that, and know that they love and support you.
That's right.
I just want to thank you girls because how awesome this idea came about on the beach. And, you know, it's like, it's amazing when you have a little piece of knowledge. It's like when you have a baby and your friends tell you the best tips. You know, how it's awesome to take that to chemo and to make it really accessible. And I love your logo and the whole cocktail idea. It's just, it takes a lot of the fear away. I wish my mom had this. I wish the people in my life had this when I was facing such a scary time. And I'm so proud of you. And
thank you,
congratulations.
Thank
I mean, it's
you.
Just, I want a patch. I can't wait to have a real cocktail with you on. I mean, I just keep saying cocktail. And that was the worst part of chemo, not drinking. But I'm just, congratulations.
Thank you.
And
very
we're
much.
Awfully proud of the efforts and the strides that you two are doing in your own worlds of supporting others with cancer.
That's right. And so that's all for this interview. But we just want to thank you for coming in and watching. And just remember, this is Sharon and Lucy. We're not just surviving,
but we're thriving with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.